We stand in awe of you, Lord. There is none like you. There is none like you. We search all over, oh God. We couldn't find anybody. We look high. We look low. We still couldn't find anyone like you, Lord. You are the only one of a kind. The only one of a kind, oh God. We worship you this morning. We give you praise. We bless you because you are good. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God for you, choir and our sister, for that song. It's because of God we are who we are. And we are where we are. And we will be who we'll be because of Him. I want to give God the praise this morning for great things He has done. And great things. And greater things.
Amen.
He's going to do. We give Him all the praise this morning. Before I go to the word, I want to give thanks and appreciation first. He's now my pastor. I don't care how you feel. My pastor, Reverend Dr. Daryl LaRue Armstrong. Our pastor. I just want to be selfish a little bit. My pastor. But he's our pastor. Dr. Armstrong, I want to say thank you so much. There are churches you go to and the pastor feel intimidated or something, someone you is around the corner and don't want to give them the opportunity or shepherd them as they go along. But you gave me the opportunity. Open your pulpit, you open this church. You afforded me the opportunity to learn a lot of things. And I want to say thank you. God bless you. I'm in debt to you. I am so, so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. Thank you so much. I also want to say thank you to my husband. My kids are not here. They let me leave for 2 years to come to a strange land, miles and miles away, to get an education. It was hard. It was tough. I said, thank you, baby. Thank you so much. And God bless you. I want to praise God also for my church, back home, Providence Baptist Church, and my pastor, Reverend Samuel B. Reeves, who let me leave for 2 years. I still have my job. Let me leave for 2 years to come to this place and go to school. Most churches won't do that, but he did it. And I want to say thanks to the church. I also want to say thanks to Princeton Theological Seminary family. I see some board members are here. Thanks for giving me this privilege. I don't know if I would have ever been able to work and attend this school. I don't think so. But God opened door and they listened to the voice of God and gave me the opportunity to come to this school. I don't owe a dime. I didn't have to pay fee. Everything was given to me. God first, but they listened. And I'm grateful. I'm so, so grateful to the donors who made available the funds to take me to 2 years of school. God bless you so much. I want to say thank you to the Shiloh Baptist family. All of you. All of you made my stay here wonderful. Your smiles, your greetings, your welcome made me to feel at home. Some of you say, I don't have anything to serve God with. Yes, you have your smile. You have your smile. You have a great soft voice to say tell someone you are welcome. It can be little, but that is the ministry God has called you to. Use that little you have, and gradually he will give you bigger things. But when you have the little and you say, I have nothing, you are going to remain with that little and don't go anywhere. So I want to say thank you so much to the family at Shiloh Baptist Church. You are my family now. I have another church home. Whenever I'm back in the States, I know I have another church home or church family that I can come to. God bless you all so, 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 so much. I said thanks to a few persons this morning. I'm not going to repeat it. But I left off my Wednesday Bible study class. That's Pastor Armstrong's Bible study class. I want to say thank you so much to you guys. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you what God has given to me. It's not much, but I sure I was able to bless you in whatever way I could, and you were able to bless me. In Jesus' name. So thank you so much, Shiloh. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Now let's stand and open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Please stand in honor of God's word. Genesis 12:1-9. Now the Lord has said to Abram, go out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the Lord whom they and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Mara. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he patched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ar on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called the name of the Lord. So Abraham going on still toward the south, the word of the Lord. Take control. Take control. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Take control. Take control. Sweet Holy Spirit, I say come and take control. Take control. Take control, Lord. Take control of this place, oh God. Holy Spirit. Take control of our lives, Lord. Take control of everything, Lord. Take control. Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, take control. Take control, Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, take control like only you know how, O God. Each of us have come this day, Lord. We are dressed, but Lord, we have issues. We have situations we are going through and we can't understand. So we say, Holy Ghost, come. Take your seat in our midst. Holy Ghost, come. Do what you know to do best. Holy Ghost, come. Have your way in this place. Holy Ghost, come. Have your way in this place. Holy Ghost, come. Have your way in our midst, oh God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may have your seats. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Daddy God. Thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I got saved in 1993, I was in a Catholic church. I was going to church. I was faithful in myself. And I was doing what I thought I should do. But then I had an encounter with God. And after I got saved, I was in the University of Liberia doing accounting and decided and heard the voice of God saying to me, this is not what I have called you to do. I was married, but my parents were still helping to cover my fees. And I went to my mom and told her, Mommy, I don't think this is where God has called me. I want to do something different. And she asked, what? I said, I want to go to the seminary. To do what? That is where God is calling me. To do what? To serve Him. Okay. If that's what you want. And I left. And she said she was not, they would say they were not going to cover the cost. And I remember calling my mother-in-law and telling her what I wanted to do, what God had called me to do. And she said, go for it. And I went 2 years doing theology because I thought God had called me to do theology. And 2 years into the joining, I got pregnant with my son and had to stay out of school for a year. When I went back to school to continue, the Lord told me, this is not what I have called you to do. I have called you to do education. And at that time, we had a professor who was giving 50 pages, 25 pages to write just about every other week. And I said, God, is it really you talking? Because I don't think I want to do education. And the Lord said to me, this is where I am calling you. And while I was having this time of struggle, this professor came to me and asked me, but why can't you do education? In my heart, I said, I already won't sit in your class. Then you come to me to tell me to do education. I told her, I said, I would think about it. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it. And that's where I find myself now. That's what I find myself doing. From the text, Genesis 12, 1 to 9, I will speak to you or speak to us on the theme, stepping out into the unknown, your destiny. Hallelujah. Stepping out into the unknown, that is your destiny. Genesis is the book of beginnings. I say it is the book of beginnings because everything about this universe and life started in this book. In chapter 1, we see God speaking the world and life into being. In chapter 3, we see man falling away from the plans of God and sin being established in the world. In chapter 11, we see the beginning of different languages, everyone speaking in their own tongue. And in chapter 12, we see God establishing his redemptive covenant with his people, Israel or mankind, through Abraham. And the list goes on. Genesis is the first of five books written by the prophet and servant of God, Moses. Our concentration this morning is on Genesis 12, 1 to 9, which reveals to us a phenomenal interaction that changed history in our fallen relationship with God. We are told of a man called Abram, later name changed to Abraham. Abram was the son of Terah, the husband of Sarah, and the uncle of Lot. The verses before this gives us a brief history of Abram's background. Abram was from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, which was a significant city in the southern Mesopotamian world, which is now present-day Iraq. It was a significant port city on the Persian Gulf, which began most likely as a small village, but became a wealthy city. The people of this city worshipped the moon, which was considered to be the power that controlled the heavens and the life circle on earth. To the Chaldeans, the phases of the moon represented the natural cycle of birth, of growth, of decay, and also set death, and also set the measurement of the yearly calendar. Prayers and offerings were offered to the moon to invoke its blessing. We are told that Terah, Abraham's father, took Abraham, his wife, Sarah, and Lot, his nephew, along with himself, and traveled to War Canaan. But in the process of going to War Canaan, he stopped in Haran. And Haran, too, was an important commercial city. It was a city of trade in the Near East during the second millennium. The prophet Ezekiel mentioned Haran as one of the famous commercial cities of antiquity. Ezekiel 27:23. The city achieved economic prosperity because it was the hub of the ancient caravan trade that came from Egypt, Palestine, Syria, Assyria, and Babylon. The land Haran means highway, road, or path. Thus, because Haran was located at the junction of the trade routes, the city's name affirmed the importance of the commercial caravan that crossed the region. The people of Haran worshipped the moon god called Sin. Looking at this brief history, we will say that Abraham and his father worshipped idols. And this is mentioned in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. We can make this educated guess because of the religion, looking at the religion and the history and the religious antiquities found from that period. In Genesis 12, 1 to 9, we see that God decides to call Abram, a man who is believed to have worshipped the moon gods, whatever their names were. Some of us will ask, why did God decide to call this man who was not his follower? But I stop by to let you know that in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. I also stop by to let you know from Jeremiah 1 verse 5 that before God said in his word to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I also stop by to let you know in Jeremiah 21, 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." All of us have opportunities to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. But most of us go contrary to God's plan. Abraham, a man who has a background of pagan worship, decided that following the plan of God for his life was the best thing to do. He decided to step into the unknown, whatever it was, because God had told him to. Stepping is a movement made by lifting your foot and putting it down in a different place. I either step backward, I step forward, or I step sideways. These are the four positions in which we can step. Our steps can be progressive or non-progressive. It can be advancing or regressive. What is the unknown? It is moving to a place or situation or thing that you do not know about or understand. Something that is not known or not yet discovered. It can be the next educational sojourn, undergrad, graduate, PhD, a new job, travel or marriage opportunity, whatever it is not known. How many of us today know where we are headed? How many can stand up and say, definitely, I am headed in this direction? Some of us know just a little bit of what we need to do next. Just a little bit. While others are very confident that they know where they are headed. But I can assure you that it may or may not be the right step that you are taking. To be able to confidently take the right steps, We must be willing and ready to do what Abraham did. Our passage today reveals to us that there are some things that Abraham had to do for him to be successful in taking the step into the unknown. That is his destiny. The first thing is that Abraham had to hear God's instruction. Abraham was already 75 years old. And looking at it, we said this was an established man. The Bible tells us that he was rich. In the eyes of men, he was rich. He was married. He had servants. Everything he needed, we say he had. But God decided to call him at the age of 75. And I will say that God did this because of what he says in Matthew 6:33 and Philippians 4:19, which is in accordance with his plans and purpose for my life, for your life, and for our lives. Before I go any further, let me refresh your mind on the age range. The call of God has no age range. God is able to call you when you are a child. He's able to call you when you are an adolescent. He's able to call you when you are a young adult. He's able to call you when you are a senior. There is no age limit to God's call. Some of us, when we hear the voice of God, like I did the first time I asked, is that really you speaking? We ask God, is that really you speaking? Is that really? Because some of, like the young people, we feel we are young. Why must I start to serve God now? Why must I start to be a mockery to my friends? Why must I start to be disconnected from friends? Because when you get to this thing called serving God, there are a lot of things that happen that you won't like. But that is the journey. That is the process. Hallelujah. That is the process God has destined for you to get you to where you ought to be. So the Bible says that at the age of 75, God called Abraham. If we look in our Bibles, God called Joseph as a child, when he was in his father's house. When God gave Abraham Joseph that dream, that was God's call. That was God's way of speaking to Joseph to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm taking you. That was it. He spoke to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. He also spoke to other people in the Bible. He spoke to Joshua. He spoke to Jeremiah. He spoke to Isaiah. He spoke to all of these people. And he's speaking to you and I today. He's speaking to us. He knows what is best for us. And when he leads us, he doesn't lead us in the wrong direction. And that is what most of us feel. When God speaks to us, we say, hey, what's there God saying? He knows what he's saying. Because everything is in his hand. Hallelujah. Your life is in his hand. My life is in his hand. Our lives are in his hand. He said before he formed us, he knew us. He set us apart. He ordained our prophets to the nation. So our lives are in his hand. He knows what is best for us. It may seem foolish. It may seem stupid. It may seem awkward. It may seem contrary to what you believe or what you think. But I can assure you that it is the right way. And as I gave you my testimony before I started, I never knew I would be in this place today. I knew someday I wanted to travel to the States, come, see this place and go back. I knew I wanted to go to further my education. I knew there were things I wanted to do, but how I was going to do it, I had no idea. And God telling me to do education, it sounded stupid at that time. My father taught for years, for as long as I know myself, my father has been teaching. And having an example in your home, being a teacher and not, for Liberia, teaching is just a way to get by. When I told my mom I wanted to do teaching, she said, you've seen your father going through this thing for years. What is the benefit have you seen? What benefit have you seen? That you yourself stepping in the same shoes. She didn't know that God had told me, this is the way that I want you to travel. Because he had a plan for me. And he knew what was best for me. I heard from God. What have you heard from God? What has God said to you? Is it your mommy or your daddy that has said to you, go and do accounting like my mom did to me before? Or has she said to you, go and be a doctor? Have you asked God, God, what are you saying to me? Where is it you want me to go? Where do you want me to go that I will make an impact in my generation? Because that is it. When God gave us the opportunity to come to this earth, it's not for ourselves, but those around us. How can we impact them? How can we make their lives better? How can we make their lives different? That is why God takes us from place to place, from grace to grace, from level to level. And I know I'm going back to Liberia to make an impact. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm up to the task. Hallelujah. And it's not something I wanted to do. You know what? It's just coming to me. When God makes you, you see yourself as like, I have nothing. There is nothing in me. But I say to you and to each and every one of us that when God makes a person, everything you need is in you. Everything you need is in you. When the architect is building, he does the foundation. And what will he do? He will put everything in that foundation that when the building goes up, the building will stand, right? When storm comes, it won't be able to break it down. Whatever comes, it will be able to stand. Your foundation is in Jesus. That foundation is solid. That foundation is solid and nothing can break it. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can do anything to it. It is solid. So once you are standing on that foundation, I can assure you. I said I came to this place, I couldn't read. The 350 pages a week. I remember the first test I took, I made 54. I said, hey. God, that's the one you brought me here for. To can't disgrace me. That's why he told me from my home and brought me to America for. So I can flung them when I go home. They post say, she just wasted our money. The first thing, I don't even go home to graduate. That's why he brought me here for. But then when I saw the source of my strength, when I realized that it's not about you, it's not about what you've done or what you've accomplished. It's not about the 3.6 hours you made and graduated type of thing. It has nothing to do with you. It's all because of me. When I came to that realization, I can say I graduated with good grace. Hallelujah. Because I heard the voice of the Lord. And not only did Abraham hear the voice of the Lord, when he heard the voice of the Lord, he trusted the Lord. If you just hear it and don't do anything about it and don't believe that it's going to come to pass, it won't do anything for you. But the Bible says Abraham heard the word and he trusted. He trusted. He believed. He was confident. Hallelujah. He had hope. He relied. He depended. He was convinced that what God has said was possible. If it wasn't for God, I won't be here today. When God told me to leave my family 2 years ago and come to America to come to school, I would have left it. Because people ask, some people say, it's because she wants to go to America that why she came. Because every librarian wants to come to America, that's why. So they thought it was because I wanted to come to America that why I left my family and came. What kind of man will leave a family? I even heard it around this place. What kind of man will leave a wife to come to this place all by herself? It's a God-fearing man. Hallelujah. When I heard, he also heard. God spoke to us. And we trusted God. Abraham trusted God. Abraham was a rich man. He was well-to-do. He was established. He was sitting pretty with him. He had nothing to worry about. And then God saying to this man who is established, leave everything you have. Leave it and come and go to a place. And not even telling him where he's taking him. Whether he's going to dump me on the highway or whatever. He didn't tell him anything. Just say, leave. Get up and go. Get up from where you are and go. Go to a place that I, God, will show you. How long you and myself been in a relationship, God? How long have I known you? How long have I served you that? You telling me now what I can see, what I know, who I am. I should leave all of this and follow you. Not even follow you because you even in front of me directing me. You're telling me, say, pack your things and go. Whether the car will break down, the highway, I should go. What I will have food to eat, just go. What if people will beat me or persecute me or do what? Just go. But Abraham trusted God. He trusted God. His hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He didn't fear anything but trusted God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had the opportunity of watching this movie called Bash of Faith, where this man was hit by someone and he got paralyzed. He entered the hospital and everyone that came to him, I'm going to walk again. In fact, he promised his daughter-in-law that he was going to walk her down the aisles when she got married to his son. And he kept saying, I will walk again. When the doctors come, I will walk again. When the nurses come, I will walk again. They say he got in a consulting room and this doctor was sitting behind a chair. And he told the doctor, I will walk again. The doctor said, there is nothing called miracle. He said, I believe that I will walk again. The man said, you know how long we have been trusting God to walk and we can't walk? And you telling me that you will walk again is not possible. And you know, the doctor got so mad. And then he left from behind his desk, only to see that this doctor was in a wheelchair. The situation looking him in the face was, it is not possible. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time praying. You are wasting your time believing. You are wasting your time saying you are serving this God. You are wasting your time. But this man kept saying, I am going to walk again. Because you know what? He knew in whom he believed. He had a relationship with God. Most of us, We say we're serving God. One for soul, one for soul. We have no firm foundation. We're shaking when the wind goes, so we go, so when it comes, so we're all over the place. So because of that, when we are going through trials and tribulation, we can't even trust God for so long to get what we desire. But Abraham trusted God, people. He trusted God. He said, if this God can tell me that I should leave all of this and follow him, he's going to come through. He's going to come through, so I'm going to take that step of faith into the unknown, no matter what it is. I don't care. He had daring faith. He had daring faith. He had daring faith. When I came to this place 2 years ago, leaving my family, everything, and coming to this place, nobody I knew besides a few Liberian friends I have. It was rough. It was tough. But the minute I decided that I'm no more going to trust in myself, nor my connection, nor my friends, nor everybody, but trust in God, things started to work out. Things started to unfold. And that is what it is. When you trust in God, there is no dream that is too big that you cannot accomplish. There is no sky that is too high that you cannot reach it. Hallelujah. Not only did he trust God, he was obedient. And that obedience was taking action. We can hear from God. We can say we trust God and don't act. But the moment you take the step, that shows that you are obeying what God has said to you, what God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Abraham was a well-to-do man. You know, I believe that this call was shocking to Abraham when God said to him, leave everything you have and follow me. You think he just jump up and follow God? I think he has some time to wrestle with it. God, is it really you speaking to me? Are you really saying, where am I going? He had those questions. Hearing God is not an easy thing. I left that all. Hearing God is not an easy thing. Sometimes you will hear yourself speaking to yourself and say, God is speaking to me. Sometimes you will hear God speaking to you through his word. You open this Bible and just fall to something you're not even thinking of reading or so. And as you read the words, jump up at you. At times God will just send someone the thing we're not even thinking of. So just come in, maybe say a word or two to you. God has different ways of speaking to people. Open your ears. Open your heart. Free your mind. And let God speak to you. Hallelujah. So Abraham was obedient when God spoke. He was obedient. He listened to what God told him and he acted upon what God told him, leaving everything behind. Leaving the relationships he had established. Apparently leaving that job, that good job that he had. Leaving everything behind. And just taking that step of faith and saying, God, you said it, I'm going to do it. That's what God needs from us. They say, oh, he said in his word, obedience is better than what? You can make all the sacrifices in the world because someone else say, I got this job. The financial job can pay time offering. God ain't need it. Let me let you know, Nana. That time offering, what you're paying, that you're not doing what God wants you to do, it's not satisfying him. It's just some smoke going up in the air. It's not a sweet, it doesn't have beautiful scent in his nose. It stink. Let me actually polish it. It stink. I shouldn't make it look nice or sound nice. It is stink. If you are doing something that God doesn't want you to do, and you're doing it because you feel from this thing, I'm getting what I need. I'm doing this. It's all about you. And life is not about you. Life is all about God. Hallelujah. life is all about God. God places us in his place to do something for him, whatever way it is, whatever it is he has called us to do, is for his glory at the end of the day. That is the bottom line, for his glory. For his glory. So what are you doing? Is it what God has called you to do? You are an accountant. Yes, you're making good money, but is this what God has called you to do? You are a doctor. Making good money, is this how God, what God has called you to do? You are a lawyer. Making good money, is this what God has called you to do? Hallelujah. Oh, no, amen, because I will give it to you just how it is. That's what God wants you to hear today. So, no, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is this what God has called you to do? Is this what God has called? Abraham left everything. And you know what? When God calls you to do something and you leave that thing, you don't regret. There are no regrets. No regret whatsoever. It will not be easy. It will not be a smooth ride. But you will get there. However, at times he will take people from places because he wants you to get there. Hallelujah. He will do some extraordinary things in your life for you to get there, because that is where he has assigned you. When he formed you in your mother's womb, that was where he ordained for you. So whatever it takes for you to get there, he will get you there. Hallelujah. For me to get here, God had to touch the heart of Princeton Seminary people to give me scholarship. If I had done it in my own strength, I would never, ever in my wildest dream in the entire life get to this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come from a background. We are third world country, developing. It's not easy. Like I said, if I go back home, I will not even be making $400. Your money. I will still live. The papier got my back. God has my back, so I will live. Hallelujah. I will not even make $400 a month. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm looking at 400 or 300 or 500 now, because God got bigger things than this for me. All I need to do is step in those prints that he placed down for me to step in. And at the end of the day, I will get to where he wants me to reach. But I have to be obedient. You have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to get to where God has called us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to take the step. He wants you to take that step. He wants you to move from where you are. After he has spoken to you, what has God said to you? Some of you, God spoke to you years ago. Some of you 10, 15, and you still wondering whether God realized what you want him to do now for you to understand that he spoke to you. And until you do what God wants you to do, you will continue to struggle. Let me let you know, you will continue to struggle. But when you are in the plans and in the movement, in the design of God, you get to where you ought to reach even before you think or even before you know it. It will not be easy. Like I illustrated this morning about the gold. Each one here wants to wear a gold chain, right? Am I right? Everyone wants to have gold, a taste of gold. But have you sat and really thought, how does the gold reach to this place? How come they're walking to this place that every one of us want a piece of it? Let me tell you a little bit of how gold gets to where it is that you and I want some. When the gold is gotten and the goldsmith takes this gold and wants to create something that will catch you and I attention. It goes through the fire, and no small fire. It goes through that fire for a while. It comes out. The ghostman will beat that goal into whatever shape he wants it. If it doesn't satisfy him, it goes back into the fire and burns for I don't know how long. He takes it out, he beats it into whatever. If it doesn't, it will go through that process. But at the end of the day, it comes out as pure gold. And every one of us wants a piece of that gold. But none of us want to go through the pressure or the fire. We don't want to go through the pressure of the pounding. We don't want to go through the pressure of the melting, the molding, the breaking, and the remaking. But we want to be gold. It doesn't happen that way. All of us today can stand and refer to Abraham as the father of nations. He had to go through all of these things to come to this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are here today. Each of us have graduated. God has given us the opportunity to end one phase of our lives, and we are stepping out into a new phase. Have you consulted God? Have you asked God, what is it you want me to do next? Where are you taking me next? Where do you want me to go next? Even those of us are sitting in the congregation. Some of us feel we have reached the pinnacle of our lives and there is nothing. I can assure you, Abraham was 75. Right? He was 75. He was even 100 when he had a child. Hallelujah. So you are still useful. God can still use you to do something in your generation. God can use you, but you have to be willing to step into the unknown. You have to be willing to move from where you are to where God wants to take you. And that will require you, first, hearing from God. Second, trusting that what God says he's able to do, he will do. He said his word will never return to him empty. Every word he's spoken, he's able and will bring it to pass. Thirdly, we must be able to obey, and that has to do with taking that step. Moving that foot from where it is to whichever way he's leading you to move it. Hallelujah. So if you are, please stand up. If you are here this morning, if you are here this morning and you want to see the hand of God in your life, you need to take steps into the unknown. The steps you know nothing about, you need to take steps into the unknown. And that will require hearing from God, which none of us want to do. We always want to do our own thing. We always want to move our own way. This is how I see it. This is how I know it. So I'm going to do it this way. But God is saying to you today, take the step. Put your hands into my hands and let me lead you. Put those hands in my hands and let me direct you. Put those situations into my hands and let me take care of it for you and take you to where I have planned for you before the foundation of the world. If you are here this morning, I encourage you, our ministers and our deacons are in the aisle. You can just place your hand into their hands. You are not placing your hand into their hands. You are placing your hand into God's hands. Because they are representatives of God. And God will lead you every step of the way. Hallelujah. If you are here also, and you want to be a part of the Shiloh Baptist Church, I encourage you to come. This church, the church of an open door. It's open to everyone who wants to come and be a part. And the people of this church going to welcome you and make you feel at home. So you can come forward if you feel led to come. Hallelujah. If you want to make a decision for Christ, we also encourage you to come forward. Because for you to achieve what God has called you to do, you need to know Jesus for yourself. I cannot know Jesus for you. Your mama cannot know Jesus for you. Your daddy cannot know Jesus for you. You have to know and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for yourself. So I encourage you to come up this morning. Do not be ashamed. Because when you are ashamed of God today, you will be ashamed of you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory, O God. Lord, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. We magnify you, Lord, because there is no like unto you. We bless you for your word to us today, Lord. You know what each of us need, O God. To be where you want us to be where you've called us to be. Help us, oh God, to position ourselves, Lord, whether it's to hear from you, whether it's to trust you, whether it's to act upon what you said, Lord. Give us the grace we need to do what you want us to do, to be where you want us to be. We bless you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We worship you. We glorify you. We honor you, we exalt you, because you are great and greatly to be praised, O God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 We have our deacons and our ministers in the aisle. You see them. Maybe you didn't want to come up in church to talk to them. You are shy. But they are available anytime. You can come up, approach them, and talk to them, and they will be able to pray along with you and give you some sense of direction as to what you ought to do. Deacons, Reverend, God bless you. You may have your seats. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a blessed week. Hallelujah. Amen.